Hello, and welcome back to the Butler Sports Affair, the show with all the Butler athletics you can handle. I'm your host, Ethan Pollock, and today I'll be joined later by my rotating panel of Jay Coffin and James Andrews. But first, let's run down some of the headlines and topics for today's show. To start off, we'll preview the upcoming Butler women's lacrosse season as they get ready to start this week. Next up, we will dig into how the Butler women's basketball team can bounce back after a few tough losses in the Big East. And finally, after a long stretch against four straight AP Top 25 teams, the Butler men's basketball team popped off two wins and are now looking to keep that streak alive in Cincinnati. For our first meal of the day, we'll begin with the Butler women's lacrosse team.
Alrighty, so we're going to be jumping into our new sport that we're going to be talking about that's going to be starting up this semester, and that is the Butler women's lacrosse team, as we'll kind of preview, just kind of give them a little glimpse into the season, since it's actually going to be starting next week. So it's come right out of nowhere, and we are going to be trying prepared to get ready to cover all those great women. So to be talking and joining me here today, we're going to be having Jake Hoffman here to come help and talk about, since he is the beat writer for the Butler Collegian. So he's going to be knowing a little bit more. So Jake, how are you doing on this wonderful Wednesday?
Hey, Ethan, I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on again. Also, thanks for shouting me out on the beat writer. I also want to give a shout out to Ethan, who's now the assistant multimedia editor for the Collegian. So congrats on that, bro.
Oh, thank you so much, man. I have always enjoying being able to get the higher roles. And so I'm going to be the assistant multimedia, which means I should be able to post these episodes now more on the Butler Collegian website that you can be able to check, link in the description. But it should be able to help, and I honestly just can't wait to take this higher role. But back into talking about the actual sport itself, Butler women's lacrosse team. So this team had a little bit more of a shorter season last year due to COVID, and their overall record was 1-11, so not the greatest. But hey, it was a COVID year, and they dealt with a lot of injuries. And this year, it's going to be a little bit harder because the team is actually going to be losing seven seniors. So they're going to be a little bit more of a younger team, especially since they've been adding a lot more depth on defense. Jake, with all this change here for the lacrosse team, are you a little bit excited for this season coming up?
Yeah, I mean, no disrespect to anyone from a team last year, but I mean, if you go on a team that goes 1-11, I think that it's not going to be the most difficult thing, like replacing them. Like, I'm fine with adding a bunch of new additions to a team if, you know, for that, I'm not willing to sacrifice.
There's nowhere else other than to go up from there.
I mean, that's one way to look at it. I think that it is important, though, that they return 27 players, because I think it's important. Obviously, we've seen some other younger teams at sports that if you're a team entirely or even primarily composed of freshmen, it's just harder to succeed at the Division I level. So I think it is good that we're still retaining a large part of the team. And we have some very good freshmen coming in, including Kirsten Farley, Katie Deshaun, Megan Trainer, and also the only goalkeeper in the class of 2025, Carolina Smith, who had a very impressive senior season. She went 25-0 at Loyola Academy, which is actually not too far from where me and Ethan grew up in Illinois. But she had just had a great season. She tallied near 1,000 minutes, and like I said, 25-0, just a very impressive season. And obviously, you know, in lacrosse, having a good goalie can really change the team's outcome in a lot of ways. So I think that, you know, while there's still a lot of question marks, and obviously there's definitely a road they have to go up, and a test they'll have to prove early on to prove they're better. They have some pieces that can make them seem like they might be equipped to do that.
I know, and all these new faces, including even the captains, we've got a few new faces here. As for the attack, defense, and midfield, we've got three new captains, including KK Callahan on the attack end. We've got Sarah Dickinson on the defense, and Elia Eisenklein, for pronouncing it wrong. We're gonna get it down by the end of the season, I promise. But for all these new faces, and I think we're going to try and be able to bring this experience with such a young team, I think it's great to have some anchors on each of those different attacking and defense and midfield ends. I think they are going to be very, very great to have. And I think with a record of 1-11, like I said earlier, there's only one way to go up. So I'm saying to you, Jake, do you think they can be able to improve? I think the schedule kind of does favor them too a little bit as well, especially with younger people or younger women on the team and some new faces and captains that are going to be able to have their turn to try and lead this team to a little bit better record, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they're also, I think we were talking about foreign, but you said, I believe they only play four conference games in their schedule. So I think that is a chance to really help them out, just being able to play some more at a conference. Because even, and one thing that we've noticed, I've noticed just since being in the Big East, is even if the team, if a one team in the Big East is nearly as good, it's just the fact is those battles are intense regardless of like what the two teams' records can be. So I think a little bit, there's a little bit less pressure on them to know that, you know, they're playing a team where like, it's not that a game doesn't count at all, but it's just like a different, playing in those conference games just seems to have a different feel on people, you know? And I think that that's something that can hopefully lead to pressure. I do want to point out, when I was looking back, I think we actually forgot about some of the freshmen. So I'm just going to list them here because I want to include everyone.
Got some new faces.
So another new freshmen include Tessa Fakro, who's a midfielder, Hannah Dove, another midfielder, Sloan Trepp, who played at the same school as Caroline Smith. They both went to Loyola. She's an attacker. Peyton Maroney is another midfielder. Grace Hensley is another midfielder. Oh yeah. And I think Avery Waters is also another freshman and she's a defense. So there are a lot of freshmen on this team. So, exactly. There's a lot of new experience, a lot of things, you know, but there's also veterans that we can help teach these young grads. So I think there's a good mix in terms of the class and the years of everybody. I think we just got to see how it's all going to play out on the field.
I know. And once again, I think all those names that you mentioned, their lacrosse team did get 10 new freshmen to sign for the class of 2022. And that is a huge, huge thing for this program going forward, because being able to get that many bodies to come join this team and be able to develop from a younger age, I think is going to be great for this program. So, but like I said, the first game of the season is going to be actually February 6th. So the game time is set for 12 p.m. at Varsity Field here down just by ILOT. So if you're bored on the 6th and got nothing else to do, go cheer on the Bulldogs here right down by ILOT. It's not too far a walk. Yes, you got to walk down the canal, but it's always fun to get to go cheer the Bulldogs on. So that'll do it for our Butler women's lacrosse section. And now we're going to be moving on to the women's basketball, where they're going to be looking to improve here in the Big East. So we're going to be moving on to the women's basketball section, like I just mentioned, who have, once again, been on a little bit more of a struggle. They've been on the struggle bus as of recent, as the after winning, or at least looking like they had a shot at the start of their season when they had a few cancellations that might help them. And then obviously last time we talked, it was the game right before the UConn Huskies came to town. But since then, things have not been looking bright for this team. They've been on they've lost six games since then. But there is still hope. I know the team has been eaten alive inside the Big East. But this team's got some hope. I'm going to be joined once again here by Jake Coffin. So Jake, what are your takeaways here from the last time that we've spoke about the women's basketball team? Is there any change that you've been seeing within the team itself, or any hope, at least anything positive right now?
Yeah. I think the one thing they do is, and while like the numbers itself, before I get into all those, I do want to preface that this is the best in terms of how the Big East as a conference has been for women's basketball, like when I was looking at everything in over a decade. So I think that is something to take into account in a lot of these games, including the fact that while the only team that's currently ranked in the top 25 is UConn, that's definitely not what should be the case. There's DePaul, which is a game I'll get into later, has a player of the year candidate for freshman. Her name is Anisha Morrow. She's from, she played at Simeon High School, very, you know, historic basketball high school. And so there's the Big East as a whole has just been such a tough conference this year. And I think that to a degree that wasn't expected. But yeah, so they have played six games since that last episode. And unfortunately, they've lost those games, all of them by an average of 32 points. Especially the two that were especially rough were UConn and DePaul, which, like I've said, are just very good teams. So there wasn't a lot expected into keeping it competitive. They've had a really rough schedule in terms of not just playing good teams, but they had a three-game week last week. They had three games in 5 days, which is obviously a lot for any college student thing and something that you normally wouldn't have to do, but obviously how COVID's changed schedules and changed rescheduling 3 games in 5 days is something that you don't even see that much in the, it's something you see more in the NBA, but you know, so I think that's one thing to take into account. But yeah, there's been definitely some difficulties. They recently did though play 2 pretty good games at Villanova and Georgetown while they were both in losses. Villanova, they only lost by 15, and it stayed within 10 until pretty late in the fourth quarter. That was a competitive game, and they also showed a lot more promise defensively. They only gave up 59 points after giving up over 80 the past 4. So it's thing. And then this last Sunday on Georgetown, they lost by 16, but they had a lead at halftime and definitely showed signs at times. So I mean, while they're not, a lot of the results haven't been turning into wins, there's definitely still been some signs of going in a better direction.
I mean, speaking of Georgetown, I think that game showed kind of gave me a little bit of glimpse of hope in this team. Once again, is we always try and look for the positive here. And I think Selena Taborn was by far one of the biggest positives from that game itself. Taborn finished with 21 points in that game and was the big part in the fact that the Bulldogs were able to keep it close with Georgetown, as it was 2 of the bottom dwellers of the Big East Conference, which I do agree with what you said. The Big East Conference, not only in the men's, but the women's, that not many people know, has just been insanely, insanely good and not getting enough credit. So I feel like just the fact that this record doesn't really tell the whole story for this Bulldogs team is a big thing. And so, I mean, just with I'll stick with the Georgetown game too. And the fact that we were able to just battle and continue to keep battling, we were up and at half, like you said, but just weren't able to hold on to it. But the Bulldogs are currently on their 3-game away streak out East, where they played Villanova out East there. They were just in Georgetown, as we mentioned. But then now they're going to be headed to UConn, number 10 UConn, there, which they are still ranked in the top 10. And so that game it was a little bit more scary because obviously UConn was able to handle or beat us pretty handily in the first matchup. But Jake, is there any chance to stay within, at least try and stay with this team? I mean, it's a very, very explosive offense, but is there any, what can they do to be able to survive with a UConn team?
Yeah, Ethan, I think the bigger goal is, I'm not going to say they can't win it, but I'm just going to say I want to, you know, if we want to look for a more realistic goal, I think the thing that really hurt them in addition to just UConn playing well is that they got rolled over in the first quarter. They lost the first quarter 25-9. And I think the thing is, and obviously, if you're a team that's playing with a lower amount of talent, that's just too much to overcome. So it's like, they'd have some issues. If they can get off to a solid start or just a start where they're not, UConn isn't fully, you know, flexing all their muscles in the beginning, that always gives a team a chance, because eventually, even if you're staying with a team that's better, will just kind of be thinking in their mind, why aren't we blowing these guys out yet? So there's that kind of thing that's important. I mean, UConn, especially recently, I think they've gotten they've learned more over and over now how to adapt without Paige Becker. It was definitely a challenge for them at first, but they've really gotten a lot of good contributions all around. And I think that, you know, a good thing is just, my bigger thing is, can they respond to the pressure of UConn's defense? Because again, I've seen they've had issues defensively all season, but a lot of their issues have just been making plays in the half court. And I think that, you know, a good test to see is, can you make some good plays, make some better reads, turn the ball over less against that? I think that's the biggest thing to look out for. One thing I also do want to mention that is unfortunately happened in since our last thing is the team has player on the team suffered a season-ending injury. This is the second sophomore guard Abby Stoddard tore her left ACL in practice. She's obviously going to be out for the rest of the season. There's not a full timetable on the return. She wasn't getting a ton of minutes, but she did provide a lot. She had a lot of versatility as being a 6'1" guard who could also play a forward. So it's definitely going to affect not just this season, but going into how far. Going into part of next season, because she has a lot of defensive versatility. It's a shame, but from all the reports, it was just like a fluke play. She just kind of was like trying to make a cut and her knee just gave out. So that's definitely a frustrating situation. But I think with UConn, like I said, the biggest key is how do they respond to it? Because I think, you know, coaching staffs are always looking for small wins even in games that they don't win. And the biggest key with me is, do they start off well, or are they able to hand the first few minutes of UConn? And also, how are they making the reads on UConn's defense? Are they able to beat the press, start getting the ball up court 90% of the time, et cetera, et cetera?
I know the game is going to be, regardless, it's going to be absolutely a spectacular game. I mean, when the Huskies came to Hinkle last time, they set a new attendance record for the women's basketball program with 2,772 fans. It was packed house in Hinkle for the women's game. But I think for the most part, the big thing for the women's team to try and be able to hang with the Huskies would be to limit the turnovers. You mentioned the defense just ate them up last time, and UConn actually scored 43 points off of Butler's 27 turnovers. So just being able to limit that number, I think, should allow them to be able to hang in it and not limit, or kind of limit the score from being as bad, and as well as trying to just drive to the basket. I mean, against the game against Georgetown as well, they shot 9 of 10 from the free throw line. So they've been having some success there. Why not try and continue to keep using that and try and drive, force those fouls, be able to get inside and control the paint. So I know it's a little bit harder with some of the bigs from UConn, but to be able to try and hang with them, you got to be able to win down or play down and dirty. And I think that's exactly what these dogs need to do to be able to hang with them. So, all right. I think that's going to do it. So make sure you tune into that game. That'll be on, I believe, the 4th. So Friday at 7 PM. So make sure you go tune into that game and try and cheer on your dogs as well, as that'll do it for our women's basketball section. And now we're going to be transitioning into our men's basketball segment of the Butler Sports Buffet podcast.
James, welcome back. Obviously, it's been a little while since we've been posting, but it's great to be back here in the studio. And I got to ask, how are you doing on this magnificent Monday?
You know, I'm doing good. Life is pretty good in general. We had some amazing football the last few weekends. Man, that has been a fun time watching that. You know, classes are going good. We're starting to get into the swing of semesters where we're actually starting to, you know, get quizzes and tests. So been pretty occupied studying and trying to get everything good. But I'm super stoked to be back here on the podcast to talk some Butler sports with you.
Absolutely. And speaking of Butler sports, we'll just kind of jump right into it, because today we got a little bit of a special episode here, as we're going to be focusing on the big and most important part of being a Butler Bulldog, and that is the Butler basketball team. That is one pride that everyone shows towards, and the basketball team has been on a little bit of a roller coaster ride here as of recent. As the last time you saw us, we were talking about basically us losing to Xavier and going on a two-game losing streak. But since then, we beat Georgetown, who are the worst team currently in the Big East. We beat them 72-58 in D.C., and then went on a little bit of a rough streak, if I had to say so myself. Four-game losing streak. To our defense as Bulldog fans, we played four straight top 25 AP poll-ranked teams in Villanova. Then we played UConn back-to-back in 2 days, and then we played Providence. And so those teams are top teams in the country, and they really did prove it when we ended up playing them, and did not end up so well. So, but hey, there is some hope, as we're now back in the winner's column. So overall, over these last few games, James, what are your thoughts? Has this team surprised you? Are you enjoying this roller coaster ride so far?
Yeah, it certainly has been something. I've enjoyed the kind of latter half of it, though, with these past couple of games where we've been able to get two key victories. Going back before that to our losses, you know, we kind of had some more of the same issues, not enough movement on offense, and just getting off to really slow starts that just made them dug them a hole that they really couldn't come back from. And in the case of Villanova, when you're playing a team that is just so well coached with veteran players on the team, they're not going to take it easy on you. So once you get off to that slow start, they're just going to continue to put the pedal to the floor. And that's how we kind of lost a 40 against Villanova, because they're not going to take it easy. But, you know, we were able to move forward and take some positive things out of it. And I think, you know, everything started to get turned around in the second game of the back-to-back with UConn. When they came here, I thought we were able to do a lot of little things a lot better, which is how we were able to get the lead at halftime and really keep that game close for a substantial portion of the second half. Well, we did much better rebounding the ball. Bryce Golden and Bryce Enzi had a tall order there, with UConn having three guys over 6'11", but I thought they held their own well and were chasing down a lot of loose balls all over the floor, which is really the key difference there, because not every rebound takes height. A lot of them do take heart. So I think that's, you know, was kind of one of our keys to turning things around and, you know, some of the things that we did well in the losses.
Yeah, I mean, to our defense, like I said earlier, we currently have the 9th-ranked hardest schedule in the entire country. So when we're playing, it's fun when we stack all these teams on our schedule. The issue is we have to be able to try and play up to these high competitions and high competitive teams with all these magnificent talents, great coaches, and be able to try and compete. And so far, I feel like during those games, it was a little bit more rough around the edges, and the team kind of looked a little bit less experienced, even though we are one of the most experienced and well-rounded teams, supposedly, in the Big East. So there is hope, though. Yes, we had those 4-game streak, and we did not really be able to, or we weren't able to try and at least knock off one of these AP poll top 25 teams. We have yet to do so this season. However, we are on a 2-game winning streak, and I feel like the momentum is kind of switching back in our season. The game against Creighton, I believe, last week at home, it was our first unranked opponent in ages, if you could say the very least. And somebody had a career day, didn't he, right?
Yes, he did. You must be talking about CMOS Lukosius, right?
Absolutely.
CMOS played great, but Bo Hodges really was the star of that show. 18 points, 7 rebounds, a key block on Creighton's 7-footer there. I thought that's what really turned things around in that second half because it just brought life to Hinkle. And as you know, when Hinkle really starts to get go and nobody wants to play there, it didn't matter that the stands weren't even as full as they typically are because we haven't been doing so hot. But the people that were there, I mean, they really got into it. And that's when I thought everything started falling apart for Creighton because that game was neck and neck, you know, up through several minutes of the second half. But then that kind of was just a turning point. And then after that, Bo Hodges, Chuck Harris, CMOS Lukosius, they all seemed to settle in and were just playing some of the best basketball of their lives.
Well, there's one thing that has been a very big change that we haven't mentioned, and it would have been the most biggest talking point that we would have had before this, was coaching. Coaching has been a little bit of an issue, as fans have felt and expressed on social media about there needs to be some type of change, but I think the change finally did occur when LaVall Jordan finally decided to kind of switch up his starting lineup and put Bo Hodges and Chuck Harris back into the starting lineup because both those guys were coming off the bench for the majority of the season as Bo was working back from his injury and then Chuck was on what I said last time was having the yips, as I called it. But since they've been inserted back into the starting lineup, these guys have been back to their double-digit scoring ways and there is some success and hope once again. So is LaVall making the right move, do you think, right now? Is his job maybe more safe? Or should fans finally be satisfied right now?
I think fans should be satisfied for the time being, and I think LaVall definitely. If nothing else, he bought himself to the end of the season. Because if we were continuing to just skid and skid and lose, then, you know, people in our athletic office would have had to make serious conversations about whether or not they want to continue to move forward with him for the rest of the season. But I think at this point, he's bought himself the rest of the time now. And, you know, I think there is a fair point to not playing guys like Jared Bolden and DJ Hughes, who just weren't cutting it and getting it done defensively, because that was our biggest problem for a lot of the season was we know we couldn't really score on offense. We couldn't really do that last year. Even when we were ranked 5th in the nation the year before that, we still weren't even great in that department, right? But we're supposed to play defense and get after you that way. So that's first and foremost the priorities for us. So that's why I was really glad to see LaVall Jordan get back to that. Then also, I think the big thing that really happened was in the first half of that Creighton game, we weren't getting a lot of our tough shots to fall. You know, Chuck Harris, CMOS, Bo, they each missed a few shots. And so we weren't getting any crazy shots or tough shots. But we got easy ones, and that was the key. It made me so happy to see easy baskets, backdoor cuts, layups. How many did Enzi have? I think he had 3 or 4 where it was just a simple backdoor cut where his man just fell asleep, and different guys, whether it was AT or Bryce Golden, were getting the assists right to him. And it just made it look so easy on the court. But I think that's really what freed everything up in the second half, because Bo Hodges, he's a significant part of the other team's scouting report, but you're not necessarily looking to run him off the 3-point line. And that's what I've seen a lot of teams guard Bo is they're not really concerned with him out on the perimeter. So then he gets open shots and they start to fall because, you know, he is a capable shooter, even if he's not a knockdown shooter. And then that lets everybody else just get into their comfort zone. And then one of the players I was most proud of in that game against Creighton was Simos Lukosius. And it wasn't for his 6 of 6 at the free throw line shooting, although that was very impressive. And it wasn't his 2 threes that he hit, although they were very impressive. It was what he was doing with the basketball. The handles that he flashed were finally ones that Butler fans have been waiting for all season long from this young kid out of Lithuania, because we know he had that potential. He had the similar, like, post-playmaker potential that a Luka Doncic had when he came from overseas. But the problem was he was just, I guess he was nervous. The moment was too big for him, and that's, it kind of plagued him a lot all season long. But then he really got comfortable in this game after he hit his shots, and it was all she wrote from there. He hit the same guy from Creighton twice with a step-back move. Twice he had that guy flying in the other direction, and it was just awesome to see. He also had a couple of behind-the-back passes. He just really flashed everything that he had in his bag, and now that I think he's more comfortable on the court, he can continue to do this stuff with confidence moving forward.
He is the Big East Freshman of the Week once again, and Simos has deserved it, as he has been completely balling out as a reason. Like you said, it's just great to finally see these raw talents finally being able to reach up to their potentials and be able to continue to keep playing. So we look ahead to these next few games coming up ahead. We are at Xavier on Wednesday. Then we go back home against St. John's, and then we're away against Creighton. Xavier is still ranked in the top 25. They're at top, I think they're number 21. Is this the time that they finally knock off a ranked team for the first time this season, do you think?
I think this is probably going to be one of their best chances, other than, you know, maybe Villanova coming to Hinkle Fieldhouse. It's obviously tough to go on the road, especially in what is going to be a vicious environment in Cincinnati, Ohio, at Xavier. But yeah, I certainly don't see why not. I mean, this team is hot, and I think now's the time to do it. But then, you know, even if we aren't able to pull out the win against Xavier, you know, I look at our next few games. It's kind of up and down between tough and not so tough opponents. Obviously, everybody in the Big East is going to be a challenge. But I think with our next four games being St. John's, Creighton, Marquette, and DePaul after that Xavier game, I really think this team can win 3 out of 4 and, you know, go 3 out of 5 in the next 5-game stretch and really just kind of implement themselves to kind of in the middle of the Big East standings, even if we're not going to make a rise up back to the top. But, you know, making sure we stay out of that basement cellar area. St. John's is definitely a very beatable team at home. Creighton on the road, it worries me a little bit just because of what we just did to them. They might be motivated to do the same thing. Marquette's playing as good as basketball as anybody right now. And then the next couple of games after that are against DePaul and St. John's. So I think there's a real chance that this team can turn it around. Even if we don't get that big ranked win, it'll come eventually. I assure you that. I've been watching these dogs for too long to know that even when you think it's impossible, they will find a way to beat a ranked team somehow. Even if it's in the Big East tournament, we have to, you know, like knock off Villanova in the first round. That'll happen. But I also see a lot more winnable games that can get us back to 500 in the Big East.
I mean, we do it every single year. We beat Villanova. We find a way, no matter what. The Hinkle Magic just strikes just when you think it'll go away. But yeah, I think this team has it in them, and I think it could be happening this week. So, all right, that's going to probably do it here for our men's basketball section of the Butler Sports Buffet podcast. I want to thank James for taking the time to join me once again to create such a wonderful podcast. Alrighty, so before we go, we've got a few shout-outs for some of the other athletes across the Butler Athletics not yet mentioned in this episode. First off, one who is not an athlete, but is a dog that everybody knows and loves, Butler Blue just finished his first trip out east on his dog tour. Make sure you go check that out on his social media, because trust me, it is absolutely worth it to see those amazing and magical pictures of him on his amazing journey that he went on all the way out east from New York to Philadelphia. It was a great journey and plenty of pictures to go see to lighten up your day. But back to the athletics, Butler had a few new transfers that were added to the program on the football and women's volleyball teams. For the football team, they welcomed Eddie Schott, a quarterback transfer from Ball State. And while he has yet to see any game time for the Cardinals, he's going to probably find an opportunity down the road for the Bulldogs once he gets some more playing time and reps in. And then for the volleyball team, they added a new setter, Jenna Split, a sophomore from Iowa, who finished second on the team in assists and sixth in digs for the Hawkeyes last season. Can't wait to see some of the new dogs repping their new colors next season. And then finally, shout out to the Butler track and field team for continuing to break more records in a variety of different events. Most recently, the men's 4x4 relay team of Tom Pitkin, Jacob Ewell, Zach Stanley, and Isaac Kane, and the women's high jumper Nikki Ize, each broke school records at the Indiana University Relays. Congratulations on such an amazing accomplishment, and I hope that the team continues to keep on breaking more records again and again the rest of the season. All right, that's going to do it here for the sixth episode of the Butler Sports Cafe podcast. I want to thank Jenk and James for taking the time to join me once again to create such a wonderful podcast per usual. It is time to bundle up, Bulldogs, as this week is going to be filled with a lot of snow and surprises in the Butler Athletics. I look forward to being back here next week for more Butler sports content. For the Butler Collegian, I'm Ethan Pogge. Go Dogs!